Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
We begin this hour with a call-in for libertarians. With Ron Paul considered likely to finish second in New Hampshire tomorrow, his philosophy of libertarianism is getting maybe its biggest moment in the sun ever in the United States. So I thought we might look even beyond Ron Paul as an individual candidate with a call-in for those of you who consider yourself libertarians. 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692, or we can get this conversation going on our webpage as well. Go to WNYC.org, click on Brian Lehr Show. You know, Ron Paul was the capital L Libertarian Party candidate for president in 1988 when he was a wee tyke of 56 years old. So he's been a libertarian, big L and small L, for a long time. What about for you? What makes you a libertarian? And why is this so appealing to people of college age and in their 20s? It is pretty funny that Ron Paul, the oldest candidate in the race, has the youngest constituent base. So if you're just becoming aware of politics in the last few years, why are you a Ron Paul supporter or a libertarian? 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. And Paul is weaving together this unusual coalition of Americans who want really small government, who think Social Security and Medicare, for example, limit our freedom, things like that, and those who are very anti-war or pro-drug legalization. And I wonder sometimes if half the Paul supporters realize what the other half are thinking. But here is Ron Paul from yesterday's debate talking for about a minute about the heart of his philosophy.
I think that the most important ingredients in this country that made us great was our founders understood what liberty meant. And that is what we need. We have deserted that. We have drifted a long way. It involves our right to our life, right to our liberty. We ought to be able to keep the fruits of our labor. We ought to understand property rights. We ought to understand contract rights. We ought to understand what sound money is all about. And we ought to understand what national defense means. That means defending this country. That is the bully pulpit we need. We need to defend liberty.
Defend liberty and
liberty.
Good laugh line, which actually ended the debate. Defend liberty and liberty. We've got two more Ron Paul clips that we'll sprinkle in here as we take your calls. And I see all our lines are full already. So lots of libertarians wanting to talk about libertarianism. And Ian in Astoria, you're up first. Hi, Ian. Thanks a lot for calling WNYC.
Thank you very much. Good morning.
So you're a Paul supporter?
Yeah, I supported Paul in 2008, and then when he pulled out, I switched to supporting Ralph Nader. I'd like to say I think Barack Obama is the best president that I've seen in my lifetime. But myself and so many other people just are so grateful to hear the clarity of Ron Paul's message. And I think libertarianism took me years before I could sort of get a feeling. I actually didn't like the word at first because I just didn't understand it. And I think that word might turn off a lot of people until they do get a feeling for it, which is liberation and freedom. But it's important for people to know that Ron Paul is a Republican in the Republican Party. And that people who traditionally don't like the Republican Party should know the reasons why he's in it. That he just would not get the exposure if he was an independent or just calling himself strictly a libertarian.
Can I ask you, as somebody who supported both Paul and Nader, Paul would probably be for the smallest government of any recent major presidential candidate you could name. Nader would probably be for the biggest government of any major presidential candidate in recent times. How do you square those two?
Well, I think it's a funny, funny point, and you're right. But I think it would be a blend, and that's what any great government would be anyway, is there would be transition periods. And when Dr. Paul speaks about some of these things that scare people, that seem like big changes, he does clarify when asked that we would have transitions. And how do I think that some of the government regulations that Ralph Nader and government regulating agencies that Ralph Nader was proposing are actually covered simply under the court system in the United States, and how Ron Paul has expressed that the court systems can provide quite a lot of internal checks. And it's not something that I know well, so I'm not. Yes.
They would meet on their anti-war positions. Is that the heart of it for you also?
Ron Paul's anti-war position.
With
exactly.
Nader's.
And I feel that I'm anti-war. I don't think that I'm weak, and I don't think I'm afraid to defend this country. But I am against wars that don't make sense on a practical level.
Ian, I'm going to leave it there. Thank you very much for chiming in. 212-433-WNYC as Ian's line opens up. It's funny, he mentioned the court system. Many of you may not know that libertarians usually do believe in lawsuits. You might think they wouldn't, but they see civil lawsuits as free person to free person dispute resolution with a jury of their free person peers sitting in judgment. And they see that as very different from government regulation or the strong arm of the criminal justice system. So libertarians are often not big on tort reform. All right. Here is another Ron Paul clip. This is from yesterday's debate as well. And he talks here about the difference, as he sees it, between rights and entitlements. Again, part of libertarian philosophy is to make this distinction between rights and entitlements. He was responding to a question about whether he supports gay rights.
Entitlements are not rights. Rights mean you have a right. Rights mean you have a right to your life, and you have a right to your liberty, and you should have a right to keep the fruits of your labor. And this is quite a bit different, but earlier on there was a little discussion here about gay rights. I, in a way, don't like to use those terms, gay rights, women's rights, minority rights, religious rights. There's only one type of right. It's your right to your liberty. And I think this causes divisiveness when we see people in groups, because for too long we punish groups, so the answer then was that's relieve them by giving them affirmative action. So I think both are wrong. If you think in terms of individuals and protect every single individual, no, they're not entitled. One group isn't entitled to take something from somebody else. And the basic problem here is there's a lot of good intention to help poor people, but guess who gets the entitlements in Washington? The big guys get the rich people. They run the entitles from the system, the military-industrial complex, the banking system.
Okay.
Those are the entitlements we should be dealing
with. Dr. Paul, thanks.
So again, Ron Paul in the NBC debate yesterday. What is libertarianism to you, libertarians? John in Smithtown, you're on WNYC. Thanks a lot for calling in, John.
How you doing, Brian? I'm only 23 years old, so I'm very new to the libertarian idea, but as soon as I started to hear the message, it resonated. And it's the point that we should view government through the lens of personal liberty. If I do not have personal liberty, all these other great policies mean nothing. So you have to protect someone's right to choose, and that's where Ron Paul gets misinterpreted a lot. He's not getting rid of Social Security. He's giving you the right to choose whether you want these things or not, and he believes that's your right as a free person.
I'm not sure that he wouldn't get rid of Social Security.
He's going to give you, as if you look at his plan, it's actually he's going to give people under the age of 26 the option to opt out. And he's going to continue by ending the wars. He's going to continue the Social Security system, paying for it through the money he'll be saving by not waging war and foreign aid.
So how far would you take that yourself? Would you use that as a transition? If you were president, if you were the czar of the United States, would you use that as a transition to eliminate the Social Security system altogether in a generation, for example? Do you give that any thought?
Well, you have to examine it through that I have the right to choose. So the people who want to participate in the system will pay for each other. So if I'm not going to participate, then the people who do sign up for Social Security, they'll pay for themselves, and I don't have to pay for them. And with, especially as a 23-year-old, Brian, I'm not guaranteed this money. This is money I'm paying into a system that I'm not sure is going to be there when I'm my parents' age.
Mm-hmm.
Does that really seem fair for me to be paying into something I'm not guaranteed?
Let me try.
As an intelligent person, I would say no.
Let me try another one out on you. We've had local Libertarian Party guests on this show a number of times. And like Ron Paul, I should say first that they are usually not cagey about their positions. And unlike all the other candidates, and you probably agree with this, when you see these debates, Ron Paul is not cagey about his positions. He just says what he thinks. And same thing with the local libertarians who've come on as they run as third-party candidates for mayor or governor or whatever. And they will come right out and say they think the market could replace all public schools. The market could replace all public libraries. The market could protect the environment. That would be unnecessary role for government. Is this your libertarianism? Would you go that far?
It's a theory right now, so it's complicated to go that far. But what libertarians right now, as I feel, as on the situation, let's stop all the bad stuff government is doing, and then we'll talk about building the schools. We'll talk about building the roads. Just recognize that this has to be a conversation, that these things aren't guarantees. We can't just spend money on things assuming that's what people need. And, you know, with schools, I agree with Ron Paul a lot about homeschooling. I'm really considering, you know, when I have a family, mm-hmm. that I may homeschool because I feel the school system had done me a great injustice. You know, they labeled me as, attention deficit disorder. They marginalize you and they make you feel out of place, whereas in a home environment, your mother or your father who is educating you would understand that you think differently, and this is the situation in which I have to teach you that you need to interact or you need to do this or you're better at auditory compared to visual. And this is where the public school system is failing mm-hmm. people because not everyone learns the same way, and we're shoving 30 kids into a classroom with one teacher trying to force them to learn all the same way.
John, keep calling us. Thanks a lot.
Have a great day, Brian.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC as we take calls from libertarians. Explain to everybody else what your libertarianism is, especially why you support Ron Paul, whose popularity right now is putting libertarianism in the spotlight, at least for a moment. And we'll play another clip of Paul right now. This is from the Saturday night ABC debate where he talked about racism as he sees it in the court system. Now, this came up because his name was on some old newsletters in the 90s that had some pretty racist stuff, and he disavowed all of that and said he never knew that went out and he didn't believe those things. But he highlighted what he sees from his libertarian perspective as racism today in the judicial system.
Look at the percentages. The percentage of people who use drugs are about the same with blacks and whites, and yet the blacks are arrested way disproportionately. They're prosecuted in prison way disproportionately. They get the death penalty way disproportionately. How many times have you seen a white rich person get the electric chair or get execution? But poor minorities have an injustice, and they have an injustice in war as well, because the minorities suffer more. Even with a draft, they suffer definitely more, and without a draft, they're suffering disproportionately. If we truly want to be concerned about racism, you ought to look at a few of those issues and look at the drug laws, which are being so unfairly enforced.
Really interesting. And so when you dive all the way down on that, Ron Paul doesn't want drug laws. He thinks that drugs should be treated as a health problem, not a criminal justice problem, because nobody's impinging on anybody else's freedom by taking drugs themselves. So in pursuit of that libertarian ideal, he points out the inequities in how government enforces the drug laws in terms of race in that case. So another piece of libertarianism per Ron Paul. And Frank in Hudson County, you're on WNYC. Frank, thanks a lot for calling in.
Hey, thanks, Brian. I'm a big fan of the show.
Thank you. So you consider yourself a libertarian?
Actually, I am a Christian conservative. Everybody seems to try to lump Paul supporters into the libertarian box, but uh-huh. I consider myself a Christian conservative. I've been a big Paul supporter. I worked on his campaign in New Hampshire in 2008. I'm a big supporter of him now.
Uh-huh.
And for me, my biggest points are his anti-war stances, non-interventionism, his economic policies. He predicted what was going to happen years in advance. Nobody, any of these other Republican candidates in the last go-around, the last cycle, was standing at the debate in Michigan saying that, oh, the economy's in great shape. Ron Paul has been screaming about this for years, and that's why I support him, his economic positions and his anti-war stance. I served in the military during the first Gulf War, mm-hmm. me and my brother. And I'm waiting for you to play the clip. I hope you're going to play the clip where he, which is one of the best political slams in the debate I've ever seen, was the Newt Gingrich slam, where he pretty much called him out to be the chicken hawk that he is.
Yeah, that was on the station earlier this morning. We didn't pull that one in particular for this segment. But let me ask you as – go ahead. Do you want to say something about that? Go ahead.
Well, I've always been interested in politics. I've been watching it since, you know, I was a teenager. And that line – where he called out Newt Gingrich, when Newt Gingrich tried to use the excuse that he had a wife and a kid. In my mind, that was one of the best, comebacks in politician debate history. That's up there with the Lloyd Bentsen Dan Quayle line, where he said, "You know, I knew Jack Kennedy, and you, sir, know Jack Kennedy," and nobody's talking about it. If Newt Gingrich used that line against Mitt Romney, that line would have been played for the next month, nonstop, 24 hours a day.
Right, and definitely was one of the big sound bites that broke out of the debate this weekend. And, you know, as I said, we've had it a number of times earlier this morning. I wanted to play some things that haven't been heard as much. But can I ask you, as a Christian conservative,
sure.
Do you know Paul's stand on abortion? I should know this, and I don't. But the classic libertarian position would be that they're for abortion rights because the government shouldn't tell a possible mother what to do in circumstances like that.
Well, Paul is a Christian. He doesn't believe in abortion. He is a Christian, but his stance is that the federal government should not have the right to tell anybody what to do. It's up to the states. The states have to make that call. That's his position.
Frank, thank you very much.
You're welcome, Brian. Thanks for
your call. And that's really interesting if that's his position, because that could actually work for pro-choice, quote-unquote, or pro-life, quote-unquote, camps, right? The conservative position is Roe was wrongly decided by the Supreme Court because it was telling states that they had to legalize abortion. So that's a conservative position. And I guess since he's not running for governor of anything, Ron Paul is going to duck that one by not saying what he thinks a state should do in that circumstance. But then that becomes another kind of libertarian debate. All right. Ed in Fort Lee, you're on WNYC. Hi, Ed.
Hi, good morning, Brian. I just wanted to follow the last caller up and just say I'm also Christian. I'm socially conservative. Some would brand me that way. But what opened me up to sort of libertarian ideals is really the idea that, you know, people may not agree with what I believe or believe what I believe, but what I believe Dr. Paul is saying is that, you know, those are all personal choices. And even in the forum of gay rights, for example, I like the way he handled that question and said, listen, we're talking about individual rights, the right for somebody to make their choices. And personally, I don't believe that I have the right to empower the federal government to impose restrictions on the personal choices that people want to make. It's their private lives. It's their private property. And, you know, some of this debate, I find it to be fallacious in pitting one side against another, when really what we're talking about is whether the government should be making rules about our personal choices.
Right. But then when you're talking about private property, where Ron Paul, I believe, would take this if pressed, would be that a landlord, for example, should be allowed under the law, or a business, to discriminate on the basis of race or sexual orientation or anything else against a potential customer or a potential tenant. So it would be legal in Ron Paul's world to, you know, not rent an apartment to somebody just because they're black, or to not serve somebody in a restaurant just because they're black. Now, he would say he wouldn't personally support doing that. He would think it's hateful, but he doesn't think it's the government's place, that those businesses would lose business and therefore, you know, hurt themselves by refusing to serve potential customers. But that would be his position. Are you comfortable with that?
I'm comfortable with that in the sense, in the way you described it in the second sense. I don't think people really... You know, what his point is that hearts and minds need to be changed, and that the enforcement of some kind of utopia by the government is really not getting at the heart of the issue, and I respect that. I mean, this is a very difficult question that you're raising, and it's something that I wrestled with even in examining libertarianism. But ultimately, what it comes down to is people taking personal responsibility for these kinds of injustices.
Right. Now, a lot of people would say that libertarianism is utopian in the sense that the belief, you know, in the belief that having such small government could have things work out for the greatest good.
Oh, I don't believe that Dr. Paul is presenting that at all, actually. Not from the way I understand him. Privacy, respecting privacy, respecting private property can be messy, but I believe what he's trying to say is that that is really the constitutional option that we were offered by the people who drafted that document. Is it going to be messy? Are there going to be arguments? I mean, anyone who has a family can tell you that private issues become messy quickly. Issues in the local neighborhood become messy quickly. All he's really saying, in my mind, and what I hear from him, is that the government shouldn't be involving itself in your family matters, or your neighborhood matters, or your state matters. And that's how I hear him, and other people may choose to hear him. But, you know, I just encourage people to wrestle with the concept that he's trying to really present, which is one of personal responsibility.
Thanks very much for calling in, Ed. I appreciate it. We'll take one more, and this is somebody calling in to say he's a libertarian but doesn't support Ron Paul. David on Staten Island, you're on WNYC. Hey, David.
Hi. I've been a libertarian all my life, and that means, as I've always understood it, that the government should have as little control over your life as reasonably possible, not no control over your life. There would be exceptions. Mm-hmm. But that would mean, for example, there wouldn't be a military draft. You would allow prostitution and gambling and drugs for adults. You would have as low a tax rate as possible and as little government spending as reasonably possible. None of this has to do with foreign affairs. Ron Paul has every right to have an isolationist position in foreign affairs. You don't have to be libertarian to do that. Many liberals who favor strong government are isolationist in foreign affairs, and I oppose Ron Paul because, number one, I don't agree with him on foreign affairs, and number two, he goes to total extremes on libertarianism, and that is not, in my opinion, what most libertarians would go along with.
I guess the consistency, as he would describe it, is in the smallness of the government. So the government shouldn't impose its will in the domestic ways that you were describing, and the government should be small in terms of its intervention or relations with other countries as well.
You're using the word small in two different ways. Small government doesn't have anything to do with whether we do or do not go to war.
All right. Thank you very much. And that's going to be the last word. Keep it going on our webpage if you want. One of the interesting conversations that one of the most interesting conversations that I think people are having right now is this idea of libertarianism and how much of a libertarian bent they want to the government, both on domestic policy. And David there, our last caller, raised some interesting questions with respect to foreign affairs. Even on abortion rights, libertarians debate each other. Some people say that as a libertarian, they do not support legal abortion because the libertarian right goes to the fetus. And so the freedom of the fetus not to be interfered with by the mother. But then the other side of that is, well, it's not government's role to get in the middle of that sort of theological discussion. So keep it going on our webpage, folks. What is libertarianism to you if you are a libertarian? And anybody else can respond and keep that conversation going there at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. Another reminder that tomorrow night at 7 o'clock, I'll be hosting the beginning of our New Hampshire primary night coverage. Join us on the radio, 7 o'clock tomorrow night here on WNYC. And, of course, we'll be chatting all night and bringing you all kinds of features, interactive maps and other things on our politics website, itsafreecountry.org. Tomorrow, New Hampshire primary day. Coming up next, fireplace precautions to take after the Stamford Christmas tragedy. And then New York Archbishop Timothy Dolan gets named a cardinal. We'll explain the Vatican hierarchy and what the promotion means. Does he get a raise? Stay with us.